I will read briefly a couple of quotes of the sermon of Brother Branham, from which I wanted to read many times, but it just didn't happen. You all know we're coming to this place not to present a program which we prepared beforehand, but we are coming here because we know that we are led by God. On Sunday in Zurich, I was reading a word without having thought of it this morning when I spoke about the altar. And right now, it came into my mind from 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's a special word, 2 Samuel 24, it says in verse 18, and God came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, and David, according to the saying of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. These are strange words. You all know, on the threshing floor, in general, it is threshed. And here is a man. He buys the threshing floor to build an altar there. And when I saw my brother Gerstendorf from the city of Dortmund, I had to think many years back, and a thought came to me. In the midst of this village called Barley, there can be a wheat field. And so we are grateful for every precious thought which comes to us. It's not about the village, but it's about the field. And not about the field, but upon that, what is being sown onto this field. And we believe that our Lord was the corn of wheat which fell into the ground. And he said, when the corn of wheat does not fall into the ground and dies, then it remains alone. But when it has fallen into the ground and when it has died, then it brings forth much fruit. Beloved, our beloved Lord, the Son of God, as the corn of wheat, he was laid into this earth. Here on this earth, which was given over to the curse, he paid the price, the most precious price, to bring in a rich harvest. And as we bear the image of the first Adam on us, so spiritually we will bear the image of the second Adam. David should build an altar on the threshing floor. Beloved, this is the great mystery. Everybody can thresh, everybody can bash, but to build the altar of God at the harvest time on the threshing floor, this is a totally different thing. And we spoke today about the building of the altar. I'm so grateful that these men of God were led by the Holy Spirit. David was, of course, a shepherd. As a shepherd, if he would have reacted naturally, then he would have gone to the nicest pasture and he would have said, "Listen, this pasture I buy because I'm a shepherd." He was led by the Spirit of God. There was a dying amongst the people which he counted, they were dying in the thousands, and now he wanted to buy the threshing floor, building an altar to reconcile God, and only then the harvest should be brought in. When Brother Rus was reading here the word from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, most surely every word speaks to us, but then especially the words, "He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Beloved, he who is sent by God speaks the words of God, and he who is determined by God to be saved, he heareth the words of God, and the word of God will always accomplish for what it was sent for. My eyes fell straight on chapter 4, and with this I came to the thought and to the word which I was reading last Sunday in Zurich. Here, in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, it's written from verse 33. "Therefore said the disciples one to another, Has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Naturally seen, the disciples could discern how far the harvest is spent. They knew 4 months and then the harvest will be. Our Lord didn't come to harvest a natural seed, but a divine seed he came to harvest. And he said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." What would our Lord say today? Exactly the same which he said then. And when we see that God is opening now the doors unto the ends of the earth, one almost doesn't dare to believe what God is able to do. Our God has unlimited possibilities, and he can open doors. And if it is his will, then his word can be carried into all the world. I didn't say it here before. Nobody knows it now, until now. But on the 18th of this month, I'm invited to come to London to speak with some people of the BBC to see what kind of possibilities will be given and whether via satellite we can spread the word worldwide, proclaiming it. I didn't decide anything yet. I just received and accepted the invitation, and I will go there. Our prayer is, Thy will be done, as on earth, so also in heaven. We are no children anymore who come to our God and who want to receive some gifts, but we want to be sons and daughters of God who can say, My food is that I do the will of Him who sent me. We know in Matthew 24, verse 14, our Lord said, The gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations for a witness, and then the end shall come. There's really no radio or TV network all over the earth which would be comparable with the BBC London. Not only the 49 states of the Commonwealth, but many others are hearing and seeing what is being broadcasted from there or reported. Should God open the door for us there, then we will enter there and we will give our utmost. And even it would be the greatest input, yet we know it is also the last input. And we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the biblical truths which God revealed. We are not ashamed of them. And if we don't preach them, who shall preach them? May God give grace to everything, is our prayer. In this sermon, look away to Jesus. And here we read, look up and see that the field is white to harvest. Here it says on page 5, we believe in the same gospel, just the way the Bible is written. It is zeroed. He speaks about a target, and whoever was on a shooting range, he knows. There are many circles, but it's all about the center, the bull's eye, not left, right, top and bottom, not the target itself. It's not interested, but the center in the target, the bull's eye, that's what it's all about. The target, everybody can hit, but the center, not everybody strikes. Here we're told, it is zeroed, and if the gun is exactly zeroed and in tune, if it strikes the target the first time, it will strike it the second time and every time. Now, this was most said by faith, and it was meant spiritually, because naturally seen, one can really hit once, and the second time one doesn't hit. I experienced it many times, but here it's about spiritual things. And this man of God, who was so connected with nature, he used natural examples to show us heavenly things and to tell us not only to hit the target, but to hit the kernel of the matter. Beloved, that's what it's all about today. The gospel, many are preaching, but they don't hit the kernel of the matter. And it's about the kernel of the whole matter. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the center, the bull's eye. It must be hit, not only left and right. Then it's just a bang and the shot is over. No, the bull's eye. The target must be hit. It continues. If a tree or a limb, a vine puts out a branch, and that branch bears a certain fruit, the next time the vine puts out a branch, it will bear the same kind of fruit. Beloved, this is an example which the Lord Jesus, of course, gave in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And he says here simply, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and ye are the branches. And every branch on me which brings forth fruit, I will prune, that it brings forth more fruit. Here, Brother Branham continues, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And the first branch, the first church that that vine put out, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. That first branch baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they had the living God among them that did the same things among them that he did when he was on earth. Therefore, the people taken notice to them, though ignorant and unlearned, that they had been with Jesus, because his life was through them. As the life of God was manifested in Christ, so the life of Christ is manifested through the church. And Brother Branham shows us and says, when the vine at the beginning put forth a branch, and a book of Acts was written after it, then every other branch which comes forth must bring forth the same results. And here we are all thrown into a desperation, and we say, Lord, we believe as our brothers believed at the beginning. We are ready to receive what you have given us. Work and confirm today as you did then. Who believes that God will do it? I am 100% convinced of it. God must do it. He promised it. And he will do it. Now, another example comes, which all can understand very well. As I've said, if I had the spirit of Beethoven in me, I would write songs. If Beethoven lived in me, I would be Beethoven, see? If Shakespeare lived in me, I would be Shakespeare. I would write poems and plays and so forth, if Shakespeare lived in me. And if Christ lives in me, here we come to the matter. And if Christ lives in us, the works of Christ we will do. It's got to be. And what is Christ? The Word. He said, if ye abide in me, and my word in you, then ask what you will, and it will be done. Because the word there just needs the light, and the light makes it alive. The word is there. It is revealed. We have heard it. And we believe it. The word is there, but the light must bring it forth. Now I read on. Now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years, or maybe longer. The third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Here, a small remark for those who are uninitiated. There are three highlights in the ministry of Brother Branham. And the last ministry he called the third and last pull, the revelation of the mysteries of God, summarized with the restoration of all things. And the church should be at the end there as she stood at the beginning. Now he says here, now remember, there will never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be, it cannot be. Now it's in existence, and I am warned of this, that very soon, right at this time now, it just happened. So it could identify its presence among you. But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. Here we again have a statement. We know that the endeavor in all the religious world, in the Ecumenical Council, is working toward to have a world church under the rulership of Rome, and all who will not be part of it, who will not take the mark of the beast, it will not be nice for them anymore. But then God will confess to them as never before, abandoned by the people, but not abandoned by God. And we rather want to be abandoned by all the people, but at no cost we want to be abandoned by God. Because we know when our Lord had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What this meant for him after we were reconciled with him. We never want again to be abandoned by God. Now he says, until now, almost everything could be impersonated, but when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you will see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. Beloved, we are sitting here today, beginning of September 82, right in a inner trouble, and we say, Lord, how long shall we wait? It seems that we have no patience anymore. And here we are told, only when the time comes, that what you have seen now temporarily, then it will be manifested in the fullness of its power. What can I for it that God has planned certain times and the things which shall happen during that time? One thing is sure, it will not take long from now. At that time, he waited 4 or 5 years to see what God revealed to him. We have now a waiting time behind us, and we don't know how long we still have to wait. But one thing we know, when the time will be fulfilled, then God will not owe us anything, and we persevere patiently in the perfect faith. Our hearts are anchored in the promises of God. Until now, we don't see the difference so clearly. There are, of course, so many spiritual movements, spiritual gifts here, gifts there. Christ is here, Christ is there. But the hour will come in which the effectiveness of God will be so mighty that people will see the difference. Here he continues, this will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. So, the sequence. First, the squeeze on them who are against the Antichrist system. And when we are against the Antichrist system, we can have no part in it, but we must be separated and we must come out. But then Christ will manifest himself amongst his own. And through this mighty working of God, the rapturing faith will come forth. In the moment where we shall be saved, we need the faith for salvation. When we shall be healed, we need the faith in healing. And when we shall be raptured, we need the rapturing faith. Beloved, and before the rapture takes place, God will take care for it that all who will have part in the rapture will be touched by this rapturing faith, that they are so mightily blessed that nobody can take it from them. Suddenly, we of course will be taken away from this earth. Now, he says here, remember, also you who's listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We are right at the age now, and it can't go on any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. We always want to go on. The people of Israel, they had to get used to one thing. Just read it. There were exactly 40 stations during the 40 years of their pilgrimage through the wilderness. Only when the pillar of fire moved, then the people of Israel moved. They could not do what they liked, but they had to wait until the time of God was come. The last must be called out first, before all the others can be perfected. Let us understand this. Except until the last child of God was called, before that the completion cannot take place and the rapture cannot take place. So, firstly, the worldwide call has to go forth before the last things can take place in the called out flock. Let us rest in God, but let us not be complacent, but let us have a deep longing in us to have more from God and nevertheless resting in God. This sounds like to be a paradox, but it's possible. A desperation, oh God, and nevertheless to say, Lord, I rest in Thee. Is this not wonderful? On one hand, to rest in God, and on the other hand, to have the desperation in the soul. Lord, when will you do it? And then again, Lord, I know you will never be too late. Beloved, this is the attitude of the true children of God. Not to get into unrest and to do something on one's own, but to enter the rest of God and just waiting until He does it. Here it continues. And now, persons like ourselves, we are going to be cut out of all that altogether, from all denominations of the uniting and so. Persons like ourselves, we are going to be cut out of all that altogether. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. It's tightening. And when that time comes and the pressure comes to a place to where you are pressed out, then watch what I am fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Also, this is again a very clear language. When it is so far that all the true children of God have been called out, then the time of God has come and the Lord will manifest Himself mightily. Then he says, we are closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. When he said that already then, and this was in December 1963, what shall we say today in the year 82? Everything is much closer than it was then. And once again, we emphasize that we are not waiting in vain, but that we will see the fulfillment of that what God promised. In Kinshasa, I experienced a meeting and somehow it touched me on my inside and something seemed to speak to me. That's how it will be when God reveals Himself. Suddenly, right at the end of the sermon, the Spirit of God came upon me and I said the following. In that what God will do, there will be the following difference. Until now, the preacher was preaching the word at the front. The gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and he was operating the gifts, and the people were sitting there. From now on, after the word of God has gone forth, the faith is worked among the people who hear the word. And at the end of the sermon, God will operate the gifts of healing and miracles among the people who need something from God. And beloved, when I spoke this under the anointing of the Spirit, something incomprehensible happened. I don't know whether it was hundreds or thousands, but suddenly, not on command, but suddenly, it was like a rushing in the multitudes of people. And the people cried out, I'm healed, or this or that, in the midst of all the gathering. until now, all were presenting the authority in front. They were operating gifts. We will still experience the days of the spoken word. The word will be spoken and the faith comes forth. And the gifts will be operated in them who sit, just as God is pleased. But this will happen at another time when it's so far. Here he continues. But I do believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age. I will never die with old age until he's here. See, unless I'm shot, killed or something or other, some way killed, just old age would not kill me until he's come. And I want to say this, I've never said it before, but according to scripture, according to what he said 30 years ago, 33 years ago on the river down there, in 1933, what he said, everything has happened just exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So it paralleled it in every way, and I know it will, the message will go on. And right here, let me make the following remark, because there are people who claim that somebody else must still come. Here Brother Bram says it runs parallel with that of the first coming of Christ. Has God, after John brought the message and after he prepared the way, has God sent another preparer of the way? No. John just lived until his ministry was finished. Then he was killed. Just because a woman was dancing nicely and suddenly the king said, demand of me everything what you like, and even it would be half of my kingdom. And this Jezebel demanded the head of John the Baptist. And already the greatest prophet of all times had to give his life in his best age. And we all ask ourselves, my God, you have sent him. And now you let such a woman dance and you permit that she speaks out such a request. And now your prophet was beheaded. How shall it go on now? We could say, my God, you have revealed so many things to Brother Branham. You have showed him future things and you permitted that somebody drove into his car and that he died 5 days later. John completed his work and Brother Branham did his work. Both went before the Lord completed his work. The task of John was done, but the redemption work on the cross of Calvary has not yet happened. John ended his ministry and he was taken. The Lord continued with his own. And as the Redeemer, he has given the redemption. Brother Branham finished his ministry and the Lord continues with his own until the redeemed are completed. No second has to come here. We have been pointed to him to whom John to whom Brother Branham pointed to. Behold, this is the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And we will not dare to point to any man after we've been pointed clearly to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And by this it remains. Christ, the center of our proclamation. He, the Alpha and the Omega. He, the first and the last. He who started and he will finish unto the day of his return amongst all who have believed with all their hearts. Beloved, may God write all these words into us so that we don't forget them, because we are living in a time where people say all kinds of things and the people are tossed to and fro. But when we've been settled and grounded, then the storms can come and every wind of doctrine can blow. It will just pass us by, and we will remain steadfast on that what God has revealed unto us by grace. Sometimes I'm a bit sorry when I have to find out that people, after the years of teaching of all kinds of things, they are pulled away. Then I ask myself, why did they sit on these chairs? And the second question is whether they really believed God's word. And nevertheless, I'm sure and certain that many will find their way still. They just have to make their own experiences, just like you and me. And God is able to reach with his own the destination, provided we are ready to lay our will into his will. Let us summarize. On the threshing floor, the altar shall be built. And when this altar of God was built, then the harvest can be brought in. And may God give us grace to understand that every building of every altar has only one purpose: to bring a sacrifice before God, to reconcile God through the shed blood. And this happened for us on the cross of Calvary. This divine altar, the cross, and the crucified one must be put into the center in the time of harvest. And our Lord said, when I will be exalted from the earth, then I will draw all children of God unto myself. Not you will draw, and not I will draw. He will draw. And whomever he calls, he hears and he comes. Let us today come to him with all our hearts and say, O God, here is my life. You paid for it. Now it's yours. Take me just as I am and bless me from the riches of your grace. And God is rich in mercy, rich in grace. With him there's forgiveness and grace. And therefore we're coming to him so that we receive forgiveness and grace. May God bless you all. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. beloved. Let us take these words to heart, for they are very important, so that nobody does something on its own and then calling it the work of God, but that we as the carriers of the divine promises can wait until the Lord fulfills them. One thing we want to do, to build the altar of God and laying ourselves upon this altar as the ones who were crucified with him, as the ones who died with him, as the ones who were buried with him, and with those who rose with him unto a new life, with Christ our Lord. This is the sum of the gospel and of the work of redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are not saved through a doctrine or knowledge, but through the blood of the Lamb of God, purchased on the cross of Calvary. And all who are of God hear the word of God. And God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what it was sent for. And because it is spirit and life, therefore it works divine spiritual life in them who hear it and who receive it by faith. And now we want to thank the Lord together, just as everybody feels in his heart, thanking him, giving him the glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this afternoon hour and for your word. Lord, we know your word is spirit and it is life. And what you have spoken, Lord, this you will accomplish. Doesn't matter when you spoke it, whether 19 years ago or whether 1,000 years ago, we know what your holy mouth has spoken, you will fulfill. Praise be to your name at a time which you have chosen and which you have determined. And for this we are grateful that you have given us grace, that the time and hour is here now. Lord, we see how everything is being fulfilled, also with the uniting of the churches and the confederation of churches. We see, Lord, everything must come this way because you are not lying. You spoke already 20 years ago. We heard it already, and today we see it. Oh God, if we cannot believe this, then our eyes are blinded still. But give us open eyes and open ears and an open heart, my God. We see already things fulfilled in our days. We worship you and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, we are waiting for the second part, which will be so mighty, but not as we want, but at your time it will take place. Praise be to your wonderful name. Our own imaginations, we will put them aside, but your will come forth. Hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. Lord, we cannot do otherwise but to praise you and to thank you that we can have part in these gatherings and in this speaking. Praise be to you, O God. Lord, you didn't abandon us. You came down to us and you took care for us, so that we can hear all these things. O faithful God, receive the worship, receive the praise and the glory and the honor from the bottom of our hearts. We praise your wonderful name. Lord, I pray for my precious brothers and for my sisters. Be merciful to all of us. I thank you that you all have come also at this weekend. I thank you, Lord, and I want that you are with them, Lord, and that you will bring them home safely. Praise be to your name. Also all who could not come, Lord, may you bless them, Lord. And all your people, whether in Africa or wherever it might be, give grace and bless, Lord. We pray also for the children of our brother and sister here, Lord, who have such evil dreams. Deliver them, Lord. We commit everything to you. Also, the children of Sister Kain, that they might come out soon. You know what is happening. Lord, you are Lord over all things, and we lay everything before you. In the precious name of Jesus, we believe with all our hearts that you will make everything well. Praise be to you. My God, receive your people, all who probably are in our midst, who are not yet delivered, God, or who need healing, faithful God. Help all by grace. This is my prayer. Lord, we pray also for our houses, for our families, for our relatives, so that nobody gets lost before this day comes, where it will be too late. We worship you and we glorify your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Amen. The matter on which we stand is not a human matter, it's the matter of our God. And I want to say, it's not only a general matter, but God wanted it this way. And he has given us the commission to our brother, that actually for the whole world he has the responsibility. And didn't come from him, but from the living God, who knows all in all how he wants to lead it. Because, as I said, it's not the matter of a man. No, it's his matter. And if he has taken himself one, him he has taken. And he had to go, whether he liked or not. Show me one in the Bible who wanted to go. There was not one. Even a Paul himself had to say, woe unto me if I don't go and if I don't do what I was commissioned to do. He had to go. And why did he have to go? Because the Lord wanted it. And he sent him. And he determined him. And so we're grateful to God that we're not standing here because we want it, but by his grace and for his work we're standing here. To his name be the glory. Brothers and sisters, I, from my side, I would like to thank you that you have come, that we could have fellowship with one another and with the Lord. And I believe that these will be hours which we cannot forget, but they will live in us, because the word of God must live in us. Otherwise, we heard it in vain. Praise, honor, and glory be to his wonderful name. Now, we want to come to a close, because most of you We have a long distance to drive. Let us sing together the song 532. Blessed be the tie.
Geknüpft von Christi Liebeshand, bleibt's fest, bis erscheint.
Praise and thanks. Now let us stand up once again for the closing prayer. Faithful God, we commit ourselves and our brothers and sisters into your hands, and we ask you, Lord, accompany them all, and each one at its place, may they be a blessing for others, Lord, as long as they're still today. O Lord, help us all and be with us. And we pray also for our beloved brother. Strengthen him, comfort him, also on his way on which you have put him on. Continue to make him a blessing. This is our prayer, Lord. And be merciful to all of us. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.